welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're counting down the top five soap opera turkeys of 2019. So stay tuned. Jillian Bowe, welcome.
What up?
Mike Jubinville, welcome.
Hello again.
Right, take two. Josh, I believe this is not your first time, but we haven't done many top fives since you joined the podcast. Welcome.
My second time. Continue to be gentle, Lucas.
Okay.
Oh, it's Luke like
he's brought a couple of turkeys before. Don't worry
oh,
about it.
Oh, Jesus. Now y'all giving out business. That's not nice.
Let's so the top five soap opera turkeys of 2019. This should be an interesting podcast. I enjoy doing top fives. I know some of our listeners enjoy them as well. Jillian, who did you have at number five for top five turkeys of 2019?
You for this list. the Black Brits on the Bold and the Beautiful deciding we need to Americanize ourselves. And they have a storyline about them losing their accents. I wanted to lose my patience and bust up my TV, but I said, why am I going to bust up my TV? My TV ain't did nothing to me. It's Brad in this story. Why even have these people on if you're not going to utilize them? And when you do, it's the turkey buffet that you have them doing. And if you didn't want the actors to use those play accents, because I don't think the young lady that plays Zoe is British. If she just wanted to stop using it, or you wanted her to stop using it, just stop having to use it. You had Windsor Harmon on there sounding like he was straight from the Lone Star State, but Thorne is supposed to be from Beverly Hills. John J. York's Mac is supposed to be British. Mac sounds like he's from the south side of Chicago. So, hell, another world. Australian, sorry. On Another World, famously, see, Jamie can't be like, no! Yes, Rachel Corrie 1 year was British. And I'm like, that's just Sean, I know your ass ain't British. So what is this?
Cassie DePive, All the Days of Our Lives.
Yeah. Well, they don't ever really bring that That's up. True. Like, you know, they could always say she grew up somewhere after living there. So I'll give them wide berth with that. But that was just ridiculous.
Mike, who did you choose for your top five or for your number five?
My number five was the cult on General Hospital. I thought the potential for having Christina go down a rabbit hole. They brought Lexi Ainsworth back. She, for this particular role with Christina, who has since disappeared, apparently. Kobe Ryan McLaughlin could have been such a force on the show for a while. And the problem with the cult was that it just kind of went down this rabbit hole of Sam getting setting herself up for assault and getting drugged and doing all these things just so Jason can rescue her. I thought that the potential of the story was really good. It could have had ramifications for a long time because God knows General Hospital takes forever to wrap up some stories. So that was my top. That was my fifth turkey for General Hospital. Trust me, there's a lineup of turkeys in the stable. Is that a stable? They don't
no.
live
a yard.
A yard. A head, a house. Yeah, whatever. But
they don't live in no house. Where you get your turkeys from?
I was thinking head house. That doesn't work either. But anyway, you get my point. It was terrible.
Mike, or I'm sorry, Josh.
Yes, right here. Want me to do that again?
Josh, who do you have at number five?
My number five goes to TMZ in their part of the coverage of Days of Our Lives and folks being let out of contracts. Not so much of their early reporting, but the fact that they doubled down and followed it up with an article entitled Remembering the Cast of Days of Our Lives, as if they were dead and as if the show had already been canceled. In that article, they referred to, specifically, they referred to Robert Scott Wilson's character as Ben Rogers, and he retweeted the article and said, hey, it's Weston, bitch, quote unquote. It was just, it came long after sort of the discussion of what perhaps Ken Corday was doing came out, and it seemed as if they had it on a timer and just knew they were going to put this out like 6 hours after they put the original article out and just didn't stop it. It didn't make any sense, and it was just a really bad oversight. So that's my number five turkey of the year, is this coverage, particularly from TMZ.
I decided to go with a theme for mine. So along with turkey, we have some sides. Yeah, at number five, we have turkey and cranberries. I love Thanksgiving cranberries, and I love Naomi Gonzalez on The Young and the Restless as Mia. But it was a big old turkey that they got rid of her when she's one of the best characters to arrive on the show in the last 3 to 5 years. She was a breath of fresh air. She was an up-and-coming, aspiring character, which a lot of times those characters are really good for generating storyline. And they just got rid of her. Of all the characters in the Rosales family, she should be the one that is still there, and others could have been the ones to leave.
Actually, we share cranberries, which sounds kind of gross, but
it does. I'll say that.
I will say that we have similar cranberries, but not necessarily in the
same. Stop it.
Okay.
Luke,
Mike,
you brought it. You put cranberries on the plate.
Mike, what do you have at number four?
Number four, Katie needs another organ. I think that the whole thing with Katie is at the beginning of the year, she got dumped by Thorne after they spent all this time trying to get custody of Will. Then Thorne leaves, and then Bill tries to get her back, who was manipulated by, or helped by as well, Will. And so they get together, and then all their happiness is just wonderfully contained in their little in their big home, and she collapses because she needs a kidney to reform Flo. And I think that I think that Katie cannot afford to lose any more organs to help other characters get their redemption arc. So I think that was a really bad choice.
Jillian, what do you have at number four?
My number four is Dante's PTSD. It's a great storyline on paper, but we're missing a huge thing. Dante. I lost my shit when they had Peter busting into some room and Dante shot at him and you never saw Dante. That's just piss or get off the pod. Dominic's in Canada. I think he's a lead on a show there. He does not own the character. It's not a shade against him. Unless he owns that character, he bought that character outright, just recast him. Recast him. If he wants to come back down the line, then you figure out what you're going to do. But we need Dante. We needed Dante on the screen to see that play out, and nothing happened.
Coming in at number four for me is the turkey that you save after Thanksgiving, put it in the freezer. It gets freezer burn. You take it out thinking you might be able to salvage it, and then it leaves it there because it doesn't look good, and it rots.
Land it.
Kim, the attempted rapist on General Hospital. The fact that this character is going around town using the quartermains as a way for us to feel sorry for her, having like one out over Elizabeth in court over Frank and Drew. It is just not a good look. And the character isn't off the show yet, but so far she hasn't really gotten the punishment she deserves for doing that. Josh, what do you have at number four?
Number four is the never-ending immigration status case of Haley Chin on Days of Our Lives. I feel like we were involved in that immigration case for the better part of 4 seasons, not just 4 or 5 months. And I, even with that, I'm okay with long-term storylines. I'm interested. I wasn't terribly interested in Haley Chin. I was more interested in her being daughter,
Melinda.
Melinda's daughter, the DA. I think that could have been an interesting storyline. I thought maybe they were going to make her related to Mr. Shin, the guy who is the head of the board of Demera, but they didn't do that. But then, after all that time went by, they wrapped it up
Oh, because I think Mr. Shin is Japanese and Haley is Chinese.
I know, and I didn't actually know that later on in the story, because I had made a point of saying that on the podcast, and I guess I wanted to address that, because I thought maybe they were going to do that, that I was like, oh, he's Japanese. But all this time goes by, and then suddenly it's just done. Like, she goes to get on the plane to go to China, she goes over there, she comes back, and she finds JJ and says, it's okay, we fixed it. Really?
Really? And now she's dead.
And I'm kind of okay with that too. All right.
I'm okay with that too. But they went through that all that stuff to get her to be related to Melinda, and the fact that that might have brought Melinda back is more of an issue for me because I loved her.
Jillian, who do you have at number three? Top five turkeys of 2019.
I would say the turkey of 2019 was Cricket going after the Newman ladies, which was Sharon, Victoria, and Nikki, Phyllis.
The Killer Quad.
The Killer Quad, the Genoa City Killer Quad. The reason why I thought it was a turkey is because even though Cricket lost her job, which should have been, you know, that's the blow up, because she went after, like I said, the Newman women, even though Phyllis is like, I hate all Newmans. You still like to ride that Newmans, the Newmans. So, girl, please. This should have, when you had Michelle Stafford back in the role of Phyllis, this should have reignited Phyllis versus Cricket. That should have reignited that. Or that should have had Victoria versus Cricket now. You know, Cricket always had shade for Nikki because of Paul and Nikki's friendship. That could have reignited that. Or Victoria could have picked up her mama's mantle and go after Cricket. Or, it could have been the Battle of the Blondes. Sharon versus Cricket. That, you did that, and then it's a dud. Cricket lost a job, and then where is she now? That's just like sacrilege.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I'm going to make this really quick. I do, as much as I would hate Phyllis and Paul together, I wouldn't mind it if she did it just to break them up to get her back.
I don't think Paul would ride her because of her. She ran Paul down, so that's not going to happen.
Well, people forget about stuff.
No,
like that.
Paul does not. So,
Mike,
no.
What do you have at number three?
My number three is Diana's return to Salem. I thought that as much as I love Judith Chapman, and I thought that she could be back on Days, putting her in as Jeannie Francis's Diana Colville did not work for me.
Turkey? That's not a turkey. That's a ham.
And some people like ham for Thanksgiving and not turkey. Mm-mm, anyway. Anyway,
bitch,
the wedding,
called turkey, not ham. Job.
The wedding that, of Leo and Sonny that he was forced into was probably one of the higher points of the end of last year. And then when Diana came to town, she had all this dirt on her son. And then she wanted to tell John that he was the father and he wasn't. And then she tried to kill Marlena. And all this went on. It just felt very forced, and as a Chapman fan, it felt like they were trying to get her onto the show and make this character work, and it didn't work, because at the end of the day, very quickly, it was like she was caught and she was found out and then she left, and then John was left with not having Leo as a kid after all. It just seemed very out of, I don't know, it just didn't work for me.
Josh, what do you have at number three?
The disappearing cast of Bold and the Beautiful. We have stories that always, at least seems like for the last 5 years or so, maybe decade, have surrounded Jacqueline McGinnis Woods, whoever's playing Hope right now. It's Annika Noel. Liam is Scott Clifton is Liam, and Darren Brooks is Wyatt. What I just don't see over the last 2 years is Rena Sofer, John McCook, Jacob Young is gone, Carla Mosley, who they brought back for 2 days only to leave her off canvas. Don't know what that's about. Don Diamont, who's on occasionally in the last year. Heather Tom, who lost, as Michael noticed, lost that organ, got that organ back, Flo's redeemed, yay, and then she's gone. And you've got these four or five people. Yes, thankfully we do have Catherine Kelly Lang on our screens more often, but Rena Sofer. I mean, John McCook's the patriarch of this show. Rena Sofer, y'all. She's got primetime and daytime. Carla Moseley, who was supposed to be the black Erica Kane. Well, she ain't no Erica Kane because she ain't on screen. All this talent at Bold and the Beautiful. And they rest on six characters.
Yeah, all of it. Yep.
So that's my number three.
All the Avons.
Coming in at number three for me is Turkey, which I prefer over the marshmallow sweet potatoes, which I don't like.
Land it, boy!
Kyle and Lola on The Young and the Restless, probably one of the better couples of late 2017 through early 2018. They started going downhill in late 2018, and they got even worse in 2019. I don't understand how you take two characters that independently are so enjoyable and make them so unwatchable as a couple. But then I remember, oh, wait, there's General Hospital, where Laura Wright's Carly and Maurice Bernard's Sonny are great independently, but together they just aren't Carly and Sonny. So I guess this is this case. So that's number three for me. Josh, what do you have as your number two top five turkey of 2019?
The never-ending death of Oscar Nero on General Hospital.
Oh, that
baby was dying for the better part of a decade, it feels like. I know it wasn't, but it felt like it. And the thing is he's still dying after he's dead. We still bring him up every damn day. Whether it's Jocelyn losing that stupid watch, or whether somebody's wandering through the meadow and crying at that damn rock at Oscar's meadow.
And now the prison has to clean that shit up.
The prison got to clean that shit up. And there goes Cassandra smacking somebody over the head near Oscar's rock. I don't know. But every damn week, there's not a week that goes by that Oscar's name is not brought up. And we had Monica this week calling him Oscar Quartermain Nero. Really?
It I know. Sucks.
It's what, is he so Spanish? Terrible. Why his name reversed?
I know. I was like, what in the actual fuck is happening on my screen? Oscar, 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 Oscar. Oh, my God. I can't.
I didn't like it when Alexis did that with her girls. Mm-mm. I didn't like it when Felicia did it. I don't like it when they doing it now. This reverse bitch. Get out of here. Y'all ain't Spanish.
Jillian, what do you have at number two?
Number two would be Tony, Andre, and Anna's fake their cat and mouse game. To get their romance back. Listen, if you're bringing Tony Andre back, because I don't know who they are at this point now, because I will blink and they'll probably be like, ha ha ha, he's Andre. And I'll be
right.
I cannot.
And they'll make it even more confusing by doing flashbacks at the same, while one of the characters is on, of the other one. Or a fantasy sequence.
All right, Jew.
No ideas, Luke.
Child, shut up. Yeah, for real. If you're gonna bring them back and have him fight for Anna, you should have had, I don't know, Anna really with Roman to fight for Anna. I thought that was just so cheesy and it's turkey. I was gonna say ham-tastic, but it was just so cheesy. And, well, it is ham-tastic shit. Like Mike said, people like ham with their turkey. It just was cheesy. If you're gonna use Josh Taylor, just have him and Anna doing the hokey pokey, and they get back together. I mean, they were together at one point, and Carrie got Anna off for murder. Just have them rekindle that old thing back again, and you know, Roman be like, it was running its course, so I'm cool with it, or something like that. Or, you know, at the end of the day, instead of having Roman pine after Marlena or something, he has a new chick. When Anna tells him, you know, I was interested in Tony, he'd be like, well, girl, good, I got Serena over here, something. Like, it was just so cheesy and highfalutin, and sometimes a tail ping less can be more with you, because he can just be a lot. And then Leanne Hunley, when they do that, their shtick together, I'm just like, Lord, I need my blood pressure medicine, because this
is. You need your blood sugar medicine, because it's too sweet.
Oh, it's not too sweet, because then that gives you diabetes, fool.
That's why I said blood sugar.
It's just too much ham. It's just too much. Like, I like camp here and there, but I am not going to speak to you again, Tony. You're with the call. I'm like, oh, God. And then he's all, my love. I'm like, oh, geez, stop it. Stop it. Like, I mean, Ron loves him some camp, so they should always send him like a turkey for writing them in with his foolishness. Because, oh, Jesus, I can't. I don't need any more of that.
Mike?
Franco gets another pass, and this time it's
Drew. Oh, Jesus.
And it's not that this would be a bad story if they did this 15 years ago, the first time they switched this over. It's just this has been going on for so long. It doesn't work anymore. And I appreciate all the hard work that the show did to get Liz and Franco to be a couple and put them out front, and Liz fighting for this and getting her kids to fight for it. And I get that when you're happy couples don't last on soaps, but they didn't really have time to be happy. And now you're going to implant Drew, of all people, memories into Franco. It just and what has happened to who's that guy, Andre? He was in the hospital 3 months ago. Where's Andre?
Is he going to help this guy?
I mean, there's no resolution that there's anything going to happen with this anytime soon. And I just think it's a bust. Get Franco's memories back and just let's move forward and get rid of the Drew, Franco, Jason bullshit that we all did not know that did not happen ever.
Coming in at number two for me is the turkey wishbone. Because it's a turkey because Days of Our Lives let Brandon Barash go as Stefano.
As long as you don't wish Allison Sweeney back on Days of Our Lives, we're good.
The wishbone part is I'm wishing that this character of Stefan would return to Salem to bone Gabby, and we'd have that amazing chemistry back together again. So the turkey wishbone.
Some pretty babies.
Right. Oh, those babies would be so pretty.
But Abigail, because she can't have no babies, bitch.
That's true. Wait, that whole pick was about wishing for Stefan's bone?
No, wishing for Brandon Barash to come back to Days. That's the wish part. The turkey was the fact that he was fired.
Oh, I thought you said wishbone and talking about him.
No, the turkey wishbone, the turkey portion of it was Days firing. The wishbone was hoping that he'll come back and making a wish.
This is extra.
Yes, you're very extra
today.
Josh, who or what did you have coming in at number one for the top five turkeys of 2019?
Yo!
My number one turkey of 2019 is Josh Griffith and The Young and the Restless not being able to know how to write for characters who have story that's organic. Specifically, Lauren Lott as Anna, Zach Tinker as Fenmore, and drumroll please, you have Michelle fucking Stafford.
Yeah, Michelle fucking Morgan, and you ain't doing nothing.
I know, but was that Josh or was that Mal? Oh, yeah, Michelle's back now.
I'm sorry.
You're right. Yes, I apologize. Yeah, you got Michelle fucking Morgan now. That's how little I recognize she's on the show because she's not even involved in anything.
We're going to bring her back because they're tearing our asses up in the magazines, on podcasts, on soap sites, on blogs, and on Twitter and on social media. Let's quell this backlash. Let's bring her back. And we don't know what to do with her. We're not invested in her. But at the end of the day, brought her back so they could shut the fuck up. That's what that is.
Gave Debbie Morgan's wig a job to do.
Oh my God.
Isn't that the truth? There is definitely some contenders for the year-end podcast. Let's put it that way.
Sony shows and wigs, but go ahead, Josh.
He doesn't seem to know how to write for anything that's organically on Young and the Restless's screen. Even his character, he's responsible for Adam Newman as an adult and Even that seems to be just throwing spaghetti against a wall at all moments to see what sticks. I don't understand. Usually you can see a game plan with somebody. Even if you don't like it, you can see it. I don't see a game plan. I don't see any short, medium, and long-term goals. I just see, oh, shit, I'm frantic because I don't know. Nothing's working. I'm not giving anything a chance to work. So for me, for all of that, he is the biggest turkey of 2019.
Jillian, who did you have? Who or what did you have gobbling in at number one?
You are the number one turkey on here. Turkey buffet. You know, cantina. No, I mean, we were. Yeah, I was thinking about you, but you know how you do with the edits. Number one would be Nick running as a councilman. You literally ran on a Friday, and then on a Thursday, you dropped out. What is that? That was, what was the purpose of that? We didn't see what made Nick want to run. It wasn't him being fed up with bureaucracy. I could see if it was a situation if he and those halfway houses he and Devon were building were getting red tape, and he found out it was because this person had a bias or this person wanted a kickback from him and he wanted to stop that type of thing. No, one day they just heard Nick talking about wanting to make a safer, better Genoa City like everybody else wants in this country. And then they all say that he should run for councilman. He runs, Chelsea's stupid ass past comes back to haunt him. He tells Chelsea, no, I'm going to fight this. And then he tells Chelsea, no, I'm actually going to drop out. I'm like, what was the purpose?
I actually think the purpose, their purpose, from what I could tell with that pointless storyline, was to create a potential long-term friction with Chelsea and Nick because she's not telling him what's going on.
She didn't tell him that she had a grifter pass with this Simon. That's friction. The politician thing was ridiculous. He was halfway in. Nick was not fully into that because if he was, he would have fought tooth and nail for that. It just seems like they didn't know what to do with Joshua Morrow. They can't bring him back at Newman because he's the anti-Newman. And Victoria will be like, bitch, you going in the mailroom because you don't know what you're doing around here. He's not going to go over to Jabot because he's a Newman. Dark Horse is gone. He ain't. Devon's like, you ain't coming over here either. So, you know, we'll do the housing thing. But, yeah, I know about your business acumen, son. So they don't know what to do with him. They should just have him running. I don't know. They should just have Nick doing charitable things like his mother or something like that. Or he starts another company again. Or, I don't know, you find out that he's running Chancellor. Remember Chancellor? You find out he's running Chancellor and you find out, well, shit, Nick is doing a bang up job over there. But that council person or city man, whatever he was running for. See, I don't even know what he was running for because it was such a dud.
But Josh even thought that it's potential. I know this doesn't fit in the what context, but Josh even thought that Phyllis should be the one. Bud said that Phyllis should have upended somebody to get control of Chancellor. Then you would have Chancellor Newman and Jabot.
Just something.
Yeah. I mean, because my thing is, you like to nitpick about direct deposit. My nitpick is, you know,
over that.
My nitpicking is, why would Phyllis want Chancellor Industries? You get what I'm saying? What's her goal? Like, unless I could see her doing that if she was fucking Chance and she says that's his birthright and he's all he happens to make, you know how Phyllis is, you happen to make an off the cuff remark and be like, yeah, I can't believe they had that Aussie fuck running Chancellor and that was my birthright, and he chuckles and she's like, I'm gonna get that birthright back for my man, like, right, that
part of the birthright is being in the Chancellor mansion.
And then here comes Nina,
you know,
here comes Nina.
And because, you know, they had under Lynn Marie for some reason, they had, remember when Victor and Nikki were going through their umpteenth divorce, the ranch went to Victor because it was tied to Newman, which was bullshit. Bull to the shit. That was always Nikki's ranch, but I digress.
Mike, what do you have as the number one turkey of 2019?
Well, mine is just the overall concept that Young and the Restless goes retro. I think, Luke, with you, I agree they had a dynamic character, finally a popular character in Mia. And the actress, Noemi Gonzalez, played her amazingly. And she fit into the structure of a hungry, opportunistic woman, the template of all these characters that I have loved over the years. And they just got rid of her, and then they reset the entire show. I think it's good that Adam came back, but with Adam's return came an entire throwback that just made everybody think that they've watched something that they didn't watch before, which we know didn't happen. So their five-year flip back, it was a big fail. Even now, they're struggling because they went and they did these things, and sometimes you can think, all right, the dust will settle and they'll kind of pick things up again. It's not working. There's just so many things that are not working right now. So that is my number one.
Coming in at number one for me is the turkey and stuffing, because they tried stuffing a whole lot of stuff into Frank and Drew's head.
I feel like your pumpkin pie, because dessert is last.
Well, but stuffing is just so
oh my God. Take him, Lord.
The fact that they saw the need to once again try and redeem Franco by making him the victim and putting Drew's brains from a USB drive into his head is a big old turkey for 2019.
Which I believe they injected. When he was with Cam, didn't they inject
all
something?
I'm saying is it was on a USB drive. It ended up in his head. How it got there.
Computer
right,
love.
Right.
You ain't heard a song.
All I know is it was my number one turkey of 2019. Did anybody have any dishonorable mentions?
I did. My dishonorable mention would go to brooding bitch boy Eric Brady on The Days of Our Lives. Having to watch Eric brood and be just bitch boy like about, Nicole, Sarah, Xander. You know, I know Xander shot up Marlena, but that really was Eric's fault. We all decided that was Eric's fault because he moved.
Yes, he was. But the other day, Xander told Marlena, you don't make me mad. When he said that, I was like, she should turn into a werepanther on you.
You know she will.
Don't make me mad, ho. I was like, wait a minute. You don't know who you're fucking with now, boy.
I just needed to bring up Eric because all of that, and I've been so put upon. I'm such a victim. And yet he continues to sleep with his brother's girlfriends. Right. Continues to sleep with his brother's women. And all over the place. Rex's woman, Brady's woman.
Wait a minute, but Nicole was actually Eric's woman first. So
right, but he slept with Sarah when she was Rex's.
You said Brady's woman. That's what I meant.
Brady and Nicole and Craig. Yeah, you're right. That was not that. But with Rex, I'm not gonna do this. But then here comes Sarah, and she looked good. He's
a
hypocrite.
And then he wants all of them to pine after him.
Oh, and you just know
all of them, and then he wants them to do the same.
And he finds out that this baby is his. All hell's gonna break loose.
No, it's just gonna be a bunch of crying again.
Well, unless they take down the drinking path. I like drunk Eric.
I don't want drunk Eric. I want to see the. We've always seen that he is the good twin. I want to see the bad Eric, not the drunk one. I want to see Eric, like, cradle that baby, and he tells Sarah, oh, my God, you need to say goodbye to her. Why? Because this is the last time, bitch, that you're going to see her.
I love that.
Because I'm taking her to come taking your ass to court. What? No. And Eric be like, you don't know who you messing with. And Xander, you know, for him to use Xander against her ass. For him to shine a light on her and be like, you lied and said the man who shot our baby's grandmother is my baby's daddy.
And that's when you have Samantha Jean come in and show him how to be badass twin.
Or if you can't afford Sweeney, you say that you got a phone call from her. Or you have him say, you know, thank God for my FaceTime my FaceTime messages for Sammy and be like, and for Nicole to even be like, you know, one person who will get down and dirty over some kids is Sammy. Like, come on. I need that Eric to show up.
I'd be here for badass Eric.
But they don't film 12 years in advance.
On that note, we encourage you to share your top five turkeys of 2019 at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. You can find Jillian on Twitter at Jillian Bo. Mike is at MPJ24.
Can you really?
Josh is at Dr. Joshua 09, and I'm at Luke_Kerr. We thank you for listening.
Until
next time, so long.
Bye. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye.